So you want to hear a scary word? Just in time for Halloween? Want to? Commitment. If you want a scary costume for Thursday night, dress up as commitment. Commitment comes in different forms. I mean, the word. I'm going to commit to that. That's a form. I have committed to a 30-year mortgage. What a commitment that is. Commitment is a scary word, though, isn't it? It really is a scary word. The Harvard Literary Society ranked commitment in the top 5 scariest words ever. I just made that up. That doesn't even make sense. What about this? The plural form of the word. Committee. Ha. That's why a lot of churches and community groups have converted to the word team instead of committee. Because everybody wants to be on a team. You want to be on a team? Yeah, teams are fun. I'll be on the team. I don't want to be on a committee, though, because I don't like the word commit. It's a scary word. Top 5 scariest words, according to the Harvard Literary Society. Jesus said, I want you to commit to my way. I want you to commit to everything that I have shown you and lived out for you and taught you and demonstrated to you. I want you to commit to that. And we're like, commit's a scary word. Jesus said, I want you to commit to my way and my truth. Did you know the first 200 years after Jesus left, the first 200 years of Christian people being on the earth, they weren't called Christians. There was no word called church. They weren't called church people. They were called people who follow the way. And Jesus said, I want you to commit to my way. We're like, commit's a scary word. Jesus said, I know it's a scary word, but I'm going to give you a few things that will help you with that so it's not so scary. And then Jesus also famously said, seek first that way, like we just sang and like we just heard out of the Bible. Seek first that way, and all the other things in your life will follow. How about that? Is that a promise? Yep, that's a promise, Jesus said. You mean, wait, let me get this straight, Jesus. You're saying, if I commit to your way, all the other things that I stress about and fret about and worry about and I'm anxious about, all those things in my life will follow if I just commit to your way. Like I just retired and I don't know what my future holds, or I just graduated, or I just said I'm going to get married, and that's exciting, but I don't know what or I have a relationship problem, or I'm worried about money. You mean all of those things? Is this what you're saying? I just want to be clear, Jesus. Everything else will follow it. I commit to your way. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you something. That is a promise if you commit to my way. See, the commitment now seems a lot less scary when you put it that way. Like, you mean everything is going to sort of go the way that God intended if I... It's a less scary word. Here's another way Jesus put it. This is what we just heard. Enter through the narrow gate. So there's a gate and it's narrow. I love teachings of Jesus that are easy to understand. Some teachings are kind of like, I have no idea what that means. This is really simple. I need simple stuff. I don't know about you, but when this is simple. Two gates. There's a narrow gate, and then there's like a broad gate. Wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. The narrow gate is not so popular because it's hard. The wide gate is more popular. Most people take it because in many ways it's easier to walk on. The problem is it doesn't lead to anywhere. Well, actually, Jesus says it leads to destruction. Some translation says it leads to destruction and death. It's a dead end. If you go through the wide gate and walk on the wide road, it leads to destruction and death. It's a dead end. Do you know the term dead end that we use today? Is taken from this passage. That's where it comes from. No, I'm just making that up. I'm not really sure about that. But it makes sense because Jesus is saying, look, if you take this way, it's a dead end. I mean, it could have come from that. It's like if you're out driving and you ask someone for directions and they say, you're on the wrong road, it's a dead end. You better turn around and take the other way. That's what Jesus is saying. If you take the wide road, it doesn't lead to anywhere. But if you take the narrow road, even though it's harder, and there's fewer people that walk it, there, look at this, look at this. This is the most amazing verse. Small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And we get so hung up on all the words in that verse that we always just overlook the most important word in that verse. We get hung up on the narrow part, like, I don't know if I'll be able to do that. We get hung up on the whole, only a few will find that. There's got to be a good reason why nobody walks on this road. Tell me the reason. Is it just really hard? Is it really impossible? That's why nobody walks on it? And we get all hung up on all these words, and then we miss the most important word in that verse. The most important word is what it leads to. It's the life. And so committing to that road shouldn't be a scary thing. It should be something we celebrate. It should be something we dance to and sing about and get together and just have a party, because if we go on that road, even though it's hard, Jesus is promising that it leads to everything that you've ever wanted. It leads to life. In fact, in some translations, it says abundant life. And so just two questions, simple questions. It's a simple text from Jesus. These are simple questions. Two roads to walk. Which one are you going to take? But what does it mean to walk the narrow road is the first question. Like, what is the narrow road specifically? And then, how serious are we about that commitment? Now, talking about commitment, when I talked to new members, we met yesterday morning, as I said, and I met with all of them individually or as couples. And what half of them talked said, like, how can I be sure? Like, commitment is a scary word. Like, how can I be exactly sure that this is the right thing to do and this idea of following in Jesus' footsteps? And I said, you know, so oftentimes there has to be, at some level, a leap of faith when you make decisions. Like, how can you be sure? Exactly, positively sure. How serious are we about that commitment? I don't know. I worked in a warehouse in Edmonton the year after high school. I got to Edmonton, I didn't have any money. I just practically begged the boss of this warehouse to give me a job. He finally gave me a job. He said, I'll give you a job, but I want you to commit to a year at least. I'll give you a job, but I want you to commit. I said, yeah, no problem. I was happy to have a job. 3 weeks later, I got a call from the CN Railway. And they offered me a job for twice the money, and I left. I said, I gotta go. And he said, you committed to me. I said, I got a better job. How serious are we about committing to things? There's a young girl who was just destroyed when her boyfriend breaks up with her. And she confronts him and she says, you said this was gonna be real. You said this was gonna be, you committed to me. And the boyfriend said, I found someone else. It got old. How serious are we when we commit to stuff like this? You know, I have heard pastors and church ministers and Christian leaders and professors in seminaries say more times than I could ever remember or count that if people just could know Jesus for who Jesus is, like if all the barriers that sort of separate us from the real Jesus, if all those barriers just came down and we could just be face to face with Jesus and have a conversation with him and see him like crystal clear, everybody in a heartbeat would run for a pen to sign up to be a part of that body. But you know what? That's not true. It's not true. In fact, the opposite is true. At least according to the biblical stories of Jesus and his followers and people around him. What happens is that oftentimes people don't follow Jesus when they found out, when they finally find out exactly who he is. It's not that they don't follow because they don't know him. They don't follow because they finally do know who Jesus is. Look, in the Bible stories, Jesus goes out into the world and creates miracles. The first things that happen in the Bible, in the gospel stories, is Jesus creates miracles and healings. And people see that, and they're excited, and they follow him. But then what happens is Jesus tells them how those miracles and healings happen. He tells them how. And Jesus said, how miracles happen is when we love each other, and when we protect the rights of the weak, and when we touch people that no one else touches. That's how the miracles happen. And people just back off. People are like, I like the idea of a God who loves me. I like the idea of a God who has a plan for my life. I like the idea of a God who says heaven is real and there's this other world. I like all those things, but I back off when I discover that I have to do all the things that Jesus did. And Jesus said, if you want to walk the narrow road, you're committing to that. See, the kicker is that all of those things that Jesus did, he then turns to us and he said, you're called to do the same. And that's when they start to balk. And the stories tell that many people left Jesus, not because they didn't know him, but because they finally didn't know him. And at one point, there's this really poignant scene where Jesus is sitting with his disciples. And he says to them, are you going to leave too? And they say, Jesus, we believe you're the Messiah. We believe you're the Christ. And they were able to answer in that way because they remembered the little word that we're looking at in verse 14. They were able to answer in that way because it's like, I know this is going to be hard. I know cross-carrying is not easy. I know that entering into the suffering of people's lives and trying to help is not easy. But I believe that at the end of that road is life. Nothing more, nothing less, it's life. So what's the narrow road? You already know what the narrow road is. Everybody here knows. I'm telling you. Like, sometimes Jesus' teaching, you know what it's like? It's like Jesus puts food on a plate and serves it to you. And it's all this food you've already eaten. Like, you already know this stuff. Like, Jesus' teachings are just reminding you of something that's already in your heart. What's the narrow road? You know what the narrow road is. 16-year-old boyfriend and girlfriend go to their parents and say, we love each other. Daughter says to her mother, I want to go on the pill. You want to go on the pill? I love him. I love him. Mom's like, I don't want you on the pill. And she's like, everybody else does it. And Mom says, I don't care what everybody else does. That's the wide road. You guys know this. The difference between the wide road and the narrow road. There are pictures and videos online that anybody can watch. And somebody says, I don't even call that porn. Like, this guy over here is watching porn. This stuff's just lightweight stuff. Besides, everybody else is doing it. And we're like, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. That's the wide road. You do what you think is right. If you're a Christian, you do what you know that Jesus has taught you to do. Because if you go on that other road, as tempting as that big road is, it leads to nothing. It's a dead end. You all know this. That's why I love this teaching. It's just so simple. I get simple stuff. The environment is being destroyed. And we walk around looking at these people who are still driving those cars, still doing this, and still their lifestyles really haven't changed, even though we all know that and then the government doesn't seem to be doing that much. And so at some point we're just like, well, if you can't beat them, you know, we'll worry about it later. Let the next generation deal with it. And we know how that's going to end. It's a dead end. You know the difference between the wide road and the narrow road? It's all over the place. It's all over the map. Your child is dealing with a bully at school. You say, look, I know it's hard, but you cannot resort to violence with that person. Because if you resort to violence, you come down to their level, and somehow you have to show that you were just cut from a different cloth. You've got to find a way to do that. If you hit him back, if you punch him in the nose, you're taking another road. You all know this stuff. It's a simple teaching. What we are taught almost everywhere in this world, not just in our culture, but in almost every culture, we're taught that what I have is mine. I've earned it. What I have is mine. I have every right to do with my stuff what I will do with my stuff. That's my right. I've earned it. But there's a voice deep within each one of our hearts. And sometimes it whispers, but sometimes it shouts, and that voice says, you were not born with the talent you have. You were not born with the intelligence you have that allows you and enables you to be able to work. You were not born with the health that you have today. That's just a blessing. You were born into an environment that just gave you privilege. All of those things you did not earn. Everything that you have belongs to God, because God gifted you with the things that allow you to be able to do stuff and to make money. And there's that little voice that always says that. And Jesus is just like, that's the wide road. What I have is mine. The narrow road is, yeah, you know what? Maybe I better think about sharing what God has given me, because I'm just a steward of everything I have. That's the difference. It's so simple. Don't think Jesus wasn't ever tempted to walk the wide road. That's what that, you know, the whole story about the Jesus in the desert with the devil? That's what that's all about. Jesus was tempted to walk the easy road. Of course he was. That voice said, if you live for yourself and if you just do everything for your own self, that voice said, imagine what you could have, Jesus. You're talented off the map. I mean, all the natural gifts God has given you, why don't you just use them for yourself? And Jesus said, it is written, worship the things of God and serve only the things of God. That's the narrow road. And so Jesus left that time of temptation and he went into the lives of people. And you know what's really, like, listen, Jesus didn't live in a kind of middle class house in the Upper East End of Jerusalem. He didn't. Like, it wasn't like, sometimes we think, it's like really good to advocate for the poor, which of course it is. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus just didn't just advocate for the poor. Jesus became the poor. It's amazing. And he went out and he said, if you want to change the world, if you want to make a difference, you have to walk the narrow road. And the narrow road is to put into practice the love of God. Simple. Do the right thing. And then Jesus said, please remember that it's worth it. Don't forget that little word in verse 14. It leads to everything you've ever wanted, the narrow road. The other road leads to disaster. It's a dead end. This road leads to life. Now, last thing. We will fail. We will fail to walk the narrow road in the way we should. We will fail to love in the way Jesus calls us to love. Example. When my first baby was born, he's here today. He's up in the balcony. He's 30 years old now. I remember when he was born. And I looked at this infant. And I looked right into his eyes, and I thought to myself, I might have actually said it, I will commit myself to this love. I'll never forget it. And in fact, every single person here that's had a baby probably has said the same thing. But then when you look back on your life as a parent, you realize how much you messed up. You know, like, I didn't, like, I should have had more time, I should have said this, I should have done that, it's like a lot of shouldas. And then you realize that you fail at love. You can't love. I mean, look, do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, share what you have with others. Okay, maybe you'll try to do that. Jesus said, practice peace. Okay, maybe you'll try to do that. Then he said, love your enemies. And we're like, scary word, commitment. Scary word. You want a costume for Thursday night? Dress up as commitment. It's pretty scary. Love your enemies? Seriously? Like, who loves their enemies? I can barely love my neighbor when he mows grass onto my driveway. I mean, seriously. Like, are you kidding me? That's part of the narrow road? And even if we get this close to it, at some point we'll just fall back. As Bruce Springsteen sang, one step up and two steps back. Look, even Paul, the Apostle Paul, one of the most faithful followers of Jesus ever. So faithful, they named cathedrals after him. So faithful that even today we name our kids after him. Here's what Paul says. Even Paul admits it. I want to do what's good, but I can't. And we're like, well, if Paul can't, what hope is there for us trying to walk the narrow road? What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? It's a narrow road. And this is what we, members of this body of Christ, are committing to. And some people, I might even say many people, are frightened away, but they need not be. Because here's how Paul ends. Paul doesn't end with that. That would be the most depressing way to end a passage. Paul doesn't end with that. He said he ends with words about being saved, being rescued from this body of death. Here's what he says. He says, thanks be to God for grace. Thanks be to God for grace. It's a narrow road, and sometimes when we're on that road, we forget to look around and see the things that we have, and we forget that when we walk that road, we don't walk that road alone. The first thing we have is this grace, which is just another word for forgiveness, so that when we mess up, we just keep getting chance after chance after chance, because God knows we're going to fail at love. It's grace that saves us. And then there is a living spirit that Jesus promised would come into our lives and be for us present in real ways. And it's a force that helps us. And it replaces our weakness with the strength of God. And that spirit is with us as we walk that narrow road. Like, imagine yourself, like your weakness replaced by the strength of God walking on that road. Just imagine that. I can't tell you how many times I walk into a situation, and sometimes it's a situation it's just tragic. And I'm like, I have no idea what I'm going to say or how I'm going to handle this. And I just say that prayer. God, this is you. It's not me. Your weakness will be replaced by the strength of God. That's a presence. It's a presence. And then there are our brothers and sisters here in the community of faith. We don't walk this alone. For you members who have joined, you have joined brothers and sisters. We are companions on this journey. And lastly, we will never, ever, ever forget what lies at the end of the road. We'll never forget. Jesus said life. It's nothing more. It's nothing less. It's life. It lies at the end. So for the miles we have left to walk, for some of you, it will be a lot of miles left, and for others of you, not that many.